This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
You are here with Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I am joined by Sav.
Hello, are you ready to get intimate?
Hello, Sav. We are definitely ready to get intimate because we are talking about customer or character creation within video games. So these, like when you jump into an RPG, typically, and one of the first screens you're met with is this character creation system where you get to like input all the different details and values into your character and really make something special for
you. Get to make yourself pretty.
Yeah. So we want to talk about like the best examples of character creation and what makes character creation games really special. And if you like to play yourself in a game or if you like to create a character that's really quirky and weird. Sav?
I mean, I'm quirky and weird to begin with.
Oh, right. So it would be one of the same for you.
Yeah. I've never met a character creator where I could actually make my hair because I have 5 different hair colors.
It's because it's so special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, my favorite character creation is Dream Daddy, Dad Dating Simulator, because it was the first game where I got to make myself properly, like as a trans man wearing a binder. And sort of having like a tubby body, which is actually really hard to get.
Yeah, a lot of video games always want you to be like this perfect.
Like super skinny, and I'm exactly. Like, I'm not, I'm sorry.
And so I guess that really stood out to you as somebody who does want to create themselves in a video game and to be able to do that in Dream Daddy where you couldn't do it before. Like, I know that was meaningful to you.
Yeah, it was really, really special. And it was this, like, really weird moment of, does everyone feel like this all the time? Is this just a thing? Because, like, when you make the perfect you character, do you get, like, this rush of, like, emotions about it? Or is it just because this is the first time I'm experiencing it?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, I don't create myself in video games. I don't know why I do it, or I don't do it, rather, but I always make something, whatever's, like, on my imagination at that time, I'll, like, go for whatever character I can, and they'll often be zany and quirky and as far away from myself as possible.
So you make me.
Yeah, well, if I had the option to make you, I would, Sav, but Unfortunately, I haven't played Dream Daddy, and according to your own analysis, therefore I couldn't make you.
Aww.
I know, what a sad... Now I'm having the sad experience you had.
I'm sorry. Now you can play Dream Daddy and make me.
Exactly. But I'm definitely one of those people who goes out and wants to roleplay. So I'll go into a character creation menu and I'll be like, you know what? Today I'm like this fancy gentleman type and I'm really tall with a cane and like spectacles. And tomorrow I'll be like a warrior woman, gladiator kind of person. And I'll try to roleplay that and throw myself into that character as best I can. But very, very rarely do I ever try to play myself. I'm too boring. Like, why would I want to play myself?
Well, like, I'd love to analyze that, like, really in depth. But my main thing is I know a lot of other people who make themselves in video games are often people assigned female at birth or people who can't find themselves in media. And it's just, like, a really sort of nice way to insert yourself into the media and have your own story be told. And, like... No offense, but you're a dude and there aren't a lot of video games.
Absolutely none taken.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah. So, like, it would be a lot more interesting for you to create different characters because story's been told so many times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yet, I actually know people who are still, like, have that mentality of, I only want to play male characters.
Boring.
Because I'm a male and I just want to play myself, which, you know, whatever. Like, each to their own. If you want to play a character representative of yourself, you know, all power to you. But at the same time, like, other characters have to exist because we're a more dynamic world than that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For me, I would just get bored of playing myself over and over again.
See, that's kind of the problem I had with South Park. Oh, I can't believe I have to say
the
this.
The Stick of Truth?
No, Fractured Ooh, Butthole.
The Fractured Butthole.
Can't believe I have to say that.
I love that name.
I know you do. but their character creation screen, which, like, the way to change the difficulty level is to make yourself blacker.
Yeah, so the more difficult you make the game, the darker your skin becomes.
Yes. And, you know, that's obviously a really, really good idea to draw attention, though I don't really trust South Park to be particularly nuanced. But it's a really good way to draw attention to, like, racial tensions and racial, like, sort of dynamics, especially in America at the moment. But if you're like me and you want to make a character for yourself and people of color are underrepresented in media, if they want to make themselves, they have to play a really hard game. And maybe that's not why they want to play games.
True. Yeah. But at the same time, I know some people who actually appreciated that it forces people to have this realization that if you want to play harder, like, you also have to go through this process. Like, it is actually sometimes a much harder life for people of color than it is for people with lighter skin tones.
Yeah.
And to force that, like, onto people is interesting.
I think that's going to hit the right market for South Park people, because it will be those people who are like, I only ever play games on hard. And then they're going to be forced to play the game on a harder level as a person of color, and that's probably something they've never done before.
I wonder how many people this will actually, like, reach and affect, because I reckon, like, the real hardcore gamers know about this feature,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be the people who more casually engage with gaming who are going to pick up this game and try to, like, play difficult and go, what? Like,
hang
what
on
is this?
A minute.
Like, and we'll really see, like, a resurgence of this topic come up again, and whether people like it or don't like it, because it is, like, controversial. Like,
yeah.
For good reasons and for bad reasons, like, there are people who really like this or really don't like this.
Like I said, I don't necessarily trust them to be incredibly nuanced about it, but I think it is an interesting step to take.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad they did it, but at the same time, I don't have, like, the platform to say this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, neither do I.
So... It's I don't know. It's interesting. It's definitely one of the more interesting examples of character creators, which is the topic of this show. I'm struggling to think of another character creator that does something that out there and forces you to do something like that.
Oh, I do know that there was a game that if you played it as a woman, it was harder for you because it was like an old Western style game.
Right.
But I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me.
There are definitely examples of really good character creators, though, like, as far as depth, right? Because mm-hmm. when you're going into a character creator, there are certain people who will spend a couple of hours to make the perfect character.
I did that in Skyrim, and then I never took my helmet off.
Oh, no! That is a sad story.
I know.
I'm definitely not one of these people who spends hours and hours doing character creation, because I value my time. Shade thrown right there.
But it
yeah.
can be fun. Like, that is... pretty much entirely what the game Sims is about, is like making your
exactly.
characters and your little worlds and putting them in and setting them on fire if you're like me.
But there are definitely some games that tailor to those people where you can like the smallest of minute details, like the bridge of your nose or the width of your eyes can be like shifted ever so slightly.
Yeah, I did like that about Dragon Age Inquisitions because there was a feature that if you were playing a female character, you still had the option to like use a slider for your Adam's apple, so you can make it really big.
All right.
And I was like, hell yeah, I'm playing a trans woman in this game. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, and I also played Inquisition. I didn't get that far through the game, but I definitely made it through character creation.
Oh, good.
And I spent a bit of time, because for the time, it was quite a good-looking game, and I did... Okay, I'm not that proud to admit it, but sometimes I'll try to make a really attractive male character.
Nice.
Just because, you know, I have to look at it all the time, yep. So why not make him look really nice? And I did that. And then I remember, like, finally getting out of character creation, and he had these, like, the glossiest lips you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, because they had this weird lighting thing on it, because I put, like, eyeshadow on my character, and I came out of character creation, and it was, like, this bright blue, and I was like... I need to go back in now.
Yeah. You have to, like, find a way to, or, like, restart.
You have to redo it, yeah.
Yeah. But, well, does that game, like, do you eventually get to a point where you can, like, customize your character again? Because I know some RPGs let you do that.
You can change your clothes, but you can't change how you look.
That's a shame, because I really do like the RPGs where you, like, find the hub town and there'll be, like, a hairdresser or a makeup artist or something, or a plastic surgeon in some cases, and you can really morph your entire body and redesign your look.
I love doing that in The Witcher. The Witcher 3, where you, like, have to go and find hairdressers because your beard grows dynamically, and you have to go and get it shaved, and I, like, downloaded all the extra hair packs that CD Projekt released, and so finally he has, like, a silly little mohawk like mine.
Oh, it's just like a hair shaving simulator at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And like, there's this really nice thing where like you go to a barber who's inexperienced and he'll give you the wrong haircut.
Right, really?
Yeah.
In The Witcher?
Yeah, in The Witcher 3.
How did I not come... Oh, because this is extra content packs? Is that
no,
what
this isn't an extra content pack. I got this on my first playthrough.
Wow, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, he's like in like this like slum of the city kind of thing. And if you go to him, he'll give you the wrong haircut occasionally. I just thought that was the best thing.
That's pretty fantastic.
Geralt gets really annoyed.
As you would. I constantly get annoyed by terrible haircuts. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the Saints Row series.
Yeah.
What they introduced in their character creation was a slider for sex appeal.
Yes.
And so you slide the bar upwards and all of a sudden your breasts get larger if you're a woman, or your package gets larger if you're a man.
Well, I think there was like... I think Saints Row had like the first most diverse character creation screen in
it
games.
It actually was really, really in depth.
Yeah, because you could change like, oh god, you could make yourself really fat, which is something I always try for in games because I'm like, I'm really sick of the skinny protagonists. I'm going to make somebody with my body shape. So it's always like, oh, this was the first game I think I remember being able to make myself kind of tubby.
Yeah.
And you could have really stupid hairstyles, like really out there colors kind of thing. You could just customize everything.
Well, if Saints Row is known for anything, it's for being out there and stupid and crazy.
Yes.
And definitely, like, you see cutscenes of, like, other people's, like, games.
Yeah.
And it's like they're wearing, like, the most ridiculous, ludicrous things, and they're just fitting into society like normal, and everyone's reacting like normal.
Yeah.
And they're just insane and out there because people just want to make the most ludicrous, funny things they possibly can.
This is the future I want.
Exactly. And then there are those games, including Saints Row, that have such a, like, an in-depth customer character creation. I keep saying customer creation. I don't
customer
know why.
Customer creation. You've made yourself a customer.
Yeah. Character creation screen.
Yeah.
And they just recreate, like, celebrities, or they'll make just memes, like,
yeah,
into real life. And it's the funniest thing to look at.
When I played Dragon Age Inquisition for the second time, I tried to make a Quinari that looked exactly like the Iron Bull because I wanted to weird him out.
And that probably wouldn't have worked.
It didn't work because I don't think they have the same horns because he's got, like, one broken as well.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. But honestly, like, I think keeping it simple can be really, really helpful. I played this game Hustle Cat.
Ooh, tell us about Hustle Cat.
Hustle Cat is a cat cafe dating simulator. You work at a cat cafe and you date the other people there, but at
oh,
night,
you're not dating the cats.
No, you're not dating the okay. cats, but at night you all turn into cats. It's like a curse on this cafe. It's really sweet. But the character creation for that is, like, three skin tones. It's like pale, middling, and dark, and three haircuts, like short, medium, and long kind of thing, and three sets of pronouns. It's like he, she, and they, them. And that was really, really simple, and it was really, really easy to get into for me.
Yeah, sometimes that's all it takes, right?
Yeah.
Like, you go back to Geralt from The Witcher 3, and that's a big, expansive RPG with basically zero character creation because you are this set character.
You're a set character.
And sometimes that's fine. Like,
yeah,
you don't always have to have a character creation. Like, sometimes a developer has this image in mind, or, like, The Witcher series, they're working on a set of lore and novels where characters already exist. And so they're just building off that. And sometimes that's fine too.
Yeah, and the most you can do is sort of mess around with his hair and his beard and things like that. And I personally really like that. I don't mind playing other characters that are already preset for me. I quite like it. And there are times where I will just make a completely out there character just because I want to.
Do you ever hit randomize and then just instantly lock it in and play that character?
Oh, God, no. Because I have a very specific nose that I go for, and it's not like the cute buttony one, it's like the full proper one because I think it looks better in games.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting, like, piece of information.
Yeah, so I'm always like, all right, I gotta get this nose right.
The nose is the only thing that matters in your character creation. Everything else, it doesn't
and
matter.
The lips, like, I don't really wear lipstick myself anymore, but I always give, like, my characters black lipstick because I want them to be like the one goth in this world.
Well, we might leave it right there.
Yep.
We've been Checkpoint, and we've been talking Checkpoint Intimates on the topic of character creation. Join us next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.